McCurley in the morning. I've got a great friend of mine in studio with me, and we wanted to talk about something that we've been kind of scratching around on for several months and even a couple of years. Mike Richardson from Richardson Accounting and Tax. First of all, how you doing, buddy?
Tired, but other than that, we're good. We're good. Just into work, but that's a good thing.
Tax season kind of draws you down, doesn't it?
And it never ends, it seems like, with the extensions and, you know, individual extensions are due October 15th. Corporate extensions are due September 15th, so.
And you do a lot of company payrolls and things like that as you're every month, so right. It really doesn't talk to you.
That's right.
Hey, listen, we want to talk about this NIL stuff, name, image, and likeness. First of all, your overall opinion, and like I said, we're going to have several segments where we talk about this because there's a lot of things that Mike brings to the table with this, not just because of his professional and what he does, but he knows a lot about this. So first of all, you and I have talked about this. I've been paying players for a long while, maybe not the women's lacrosse team, but
right.
We've been paying players for a while. Now it's legalized, but your opinion on where we are?
Well, I mean, like you said, they've been paying college athletes for years under the table. Now it's just over the table. And it's not just the NIL will still be a part of it. It's just that the schools will have some authority about how it's going to be handled. But as far as the paying the players, it'll come directly from the school. And it'll be capped at $20.5 million, I believe, per school. Now, I'm not sure what sport gets what, but I do know that the bottom line implication to the athletes is a tax burden.
Yeah, it
could be.
You know, and Michael Giddens brought up a point yesterday on my program when he and Bauman and I were touching on this a little bit. You talked about you don't know what program gets what. It's going to be interesting for, and he mentioned this yesterday. I'll take one example, Kentucky, okay? Are they going to want to have a big draw of that for their football program? Or do you want to still be the big blue blood of round ball?
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do? That's going to, if you still want to be on top of the heap in basketball with your Dukes and your North Carolinas and Kansas and people of that world, your football is going to suffer a little bit.
I think so. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere that the bulk of that money that each university will get will go towards their most profitable programs, which, was, as we all know, is football and basketball.
Well, yeah, but like in Kentucky's case, it is basketball.
Right.
So you would think that their football might suffer a little bit
from
it. Hey, how about my boys, the Auburn Tigers? Yeah, football reigns supreme in this state. We know that, but, I mean, let's be honest, Auburn's football program has not been near as good as their basketball program the last 8-10 years.
True.
So, I mean, you know, we will see. I want to keep Mike around. We're going to talk about some laws that have come out with this and how things are going to be governed. And we're also going to take a march back into the time machine with NIL and see what you think about that when we come back on McCurley in the morning. Mike Richardson in studio with me, and we're talking NIL. Now, a lot of people don't understand about NIL. I want you to give me an example of maybe an Alabama football player, maybe an Auburn football player, and explain when they're getting recruited what can happen. It doesn't have to be a certain name. I'm just saying, I want you to kind of familiarize everybody with what NIL is.
Well, NIL is, and actually the NIL will be separate now from what the recent
right.
ruling was. But NIL was supposed to be name, image, and likeness. They were supposed to be able to make money from companies using their name, their image, and their likeness for their own, you know, and making money off of that. And they'll still be able to do that, but the colleges, the institutions themselves will control it.
So let's just say that John Doe plays for Wetumpka High School, and he's a senior, and he's the best player in the state, and he's going to go to either Auburn, Alabama, or maybe Georgia. Let's just say those three are on his top list. What do you think NIL will do to that individual?
I think it'll become a bidding war.
Absolutely.
And whoever bids the highest will get him.
And, of course, it's a bidding war, but it's also companies now want those type individuals to speak on behalf of their company, and that's even more money.
Right. That's exactly right, because they want the star athlete to, you know, speak for their company.
Okay, so in your line of business, now I'm going to go back to the tax part of it. A lot of things these young people that are coming out of high school, and even a freshman or sophomore at college, let's say that somebody walked on at Alabama, Mike, and let's say he was not even on scholarship. He walked on, of course, and I want to get on to the walk-on thing that was signed last year too, but he walks on, and now he got to play a little bit at the end of the season and made a name for himself, and now he's the best receiver or best whatever on the team. How does NIL approach him? He's never received any money for his likeness.
Right.
So what does he need to do?
Well, the first thing he'll do is he'll probably go and talk to his coach.
Yep.
And then his coach, if they want to keep him, will find
yep.
a source for to pay him.
So when he gets paid, he's got to understand. I mean, you're talking about young men and women who have been in high school who have never held a job.
Right.
Okay. This is not necessarily a job, but what they need to understand is if they're being paid for something, they've got responsibilities.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's just take, for example, the recruit that committed from California last week, the big lineman that
Alabama
recruited from. When he comes to Alabama and they pay, and he gets paid through the university, through the collectives, the collectives will pretty much be gone, but through whatever source for his NIL money, he's going to get a 1099 from both.
California and Alabama.
Well, he's going to get a 1099 from the university. He's going to get a 1099 for whoever's paying for his NIL.
Right.
And as a resident of California, California has a state income tax. He'll have to report that income and pay income tax to the state of California on that money. Obviously, he's going to have to report it and pay federal income tax on it as well.
Yep.
But since he earned the money in the state of Alabama, he will also have to file and pay non-resident income tax on that income to the state of Alabama.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about that with Mike, because a lot of people don't realize this. Now, you're talking about millions of dollars for some people, so we're going to get into that here in just a minute after more Hit Kicking Country. It's McCurley in the morning. Mike Richardson sitting in with me on this PWD Friday. And of course, you know, we're talking NIL, and we touched on, if, you know, like the kid from California that'll come play at the University of Alabama. He may not realize it, but he's going to owe a lot of taxes. Let's just say, for instance, that he gets $2 million. Okay. I'm just throwing that out there.
Sure.
Okay. How much out of pocket from $2 million is he going to be probably relegated to paying taxes? I'm talking about from all three.
All different sources. Well, I know California is probably somewhere around 6.5%. State of Alabama is 5%. So that's, let's just say, 11% right there. The lowest tax bracket for the federal income tax rate is 10%. He's going to be way over that. He's probably going to be somewhere up in the 36 or the 39%. Percent tax bracket. So he's going to end up paying about almost half of that in taxes.
So out of $2 million, he's $800,000 or almost $1 million in paying taxes.
That's correct. Unless, since he will be considered self-employed, obviously, if he has a good accountant, he'll be able to take advantage of some deductions against that.
Can I offer him a good accountant that I
have? Absolutely.
My Richardson Accounting and Tax Services will definitely help him with that process.
If he has to use his own vehicle to drive to an event
right.
to get for his name, image, and likeness,
right.
he can write that mileage off. If he has to use, you know, anything he pays out of pocket for the production of that income is a deductible item. Now, so that could reduce that tax bill overall, but these kids don't know about this kind of stuff.
No.
That's why I think it's imperative that the universities or somebody provide some type of financial and tax planning assistance to these kids when they start getting this kind of money.
Well, and it's you're right, and it happens. Think about this. It happens so much in the NBA. Think about it. A kid now, you got to play 1 year of college, okay? You go to college and you play 35 games if your team is really good, And then you're in the NBA draft. Let's say you're going to go, you're going to be a first round pick. And all of a sudden, somebody throws a contract out there in front of you for 5 years for $163 million.
Right.
They need help.
Besides an agent.
Yes. Not just somebody that tells them, well, hey, this is what the contract reads. If you're hurt, this trading deadline is it, yada. No, they need somebody to tell them how to invest their money, how to spend their money. But not only that, also with the government, of how they're going to be handled when it comes to tax time.
That's right.
And now I'm going to ask you this real quick, and this is way off base because I'm not going to mention this person's name because they are a super friend of mine and their business. But years ago, when Nick Saban first came to Alabama and championships started being won, there was a business in our area that would bring every now and then on a Saturday in the spring kids that would come, I say kids, members of the football team that won the national championship, they would come and take pictures with people and sign autographs and everything. And he would have to pay them. That is going to get astronomical to where those things probably are not going to happen anymore.
Well, they'll still happen, but it will be just that before he could only get those players once they had exhausted their eligibility.
Right.
Exactly. But now they'll be able to do it while they're still playing. But they're just, when they get paid for it, they'll just have to report it as income.
Right. But what I'm saying is how much is it going to cost for somebody to get them to come and do that? If they're making $2 million a year playing football, they're not going to come to a softball field on a Saturday in the spring and sign autographs for 10 bucks a piece.
No, they won't do that. But what they'll do is the NIL will start to become more lucrative for the companies because he's making money through the university now. If he wants to get out and make extra money, they're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, so things like that are going to happen. Now, one of the things I want to do with Mike, we're going to go back into the time age too, but I want to get to some things that he might want to talk about with us as well. We've talked about the tax part of it, but also me and him are about the same age. I want to get back into the yesteryear with NIL. We'll do that when we come back on McCurley in the Morning. It's McCurley in the Morning. We're talking NIL with one of my best friends. And I actually let nobody but Richardson Accounting and Tax Services do my services for me when the time comes. And I got to tell you, he and I, we could talk football, basketball, softball. We could talk it all week here. But we're talking NIL. Now, I want to get into this. And I thought about this, and I'm going to get your opinion. If NIL would have been around when you and I were in high school, okay, and I'm not going to tell everybody what years that was. They probably know, but by the way, I've got a 40-year class reunion.
I've already had
one. Yeah, I know. My couple of years, he's got me by a couple of years, but here's the deal. Think back to some of these names. I'm going to throw some of these names out there, and you tell me what NIL would have been astronomical, not necessarily a number-wise, but just think how it would have been with Herschel Walker.
Players back then, you know, usually stayed in state. Yeah, you know, we talked about some others.
Yep.
And it was a loyalty factor. But, you know, whether you wear the red of Georgia or the crimson of Alabama or the orange and blue of Auburn, the only color that matters now and it would have mattered back then is green.
You are absolutely right. And here's the deal with me. And I think about this. Think about what Bo Jackson, okay? Because when he turned down the opportunity to play football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which he should have after what happened, and he goes and plays baseball with the Kansas City Royals. Well, all of a sudden, when Nike picked up on Bo and Michael Jordan, Nike was on the map, but now Nike was universal.
It blew up.
Okay, the Just Do It, the Bo knows this stuff. What kind of NIL would we be dealing with those two individuals?
Oh, if it had started way back then, there's no telling. We might have come to where we're at now a lot sooner.
Absolutely. You and I talked about some names, and we're going to throw some out. I'll throw one out. What about Cornelius Bennett?
Oh, another one. It's kind of like Bo Jackson. If it would have been a bidding war for people like that, those athletes that were top of the list coming out of high school, those schools had better been able to find a way to get those collectives or whatever sources they were to pony up that money.
And I'll go one even further back, and I'll let you throw some in there too. But when you're talking about name, image, and likeness, there was no image any better than Joe Willie Namath. Can you go back that far and think of what it would have been?
He probably would have set the tone for all of
them. Absolutely.
When coming out of high school with his image, his personality. He would have been the one that would have, everybody else would have been riding his coattails from there. He would have been a millionaire before he got to the Jets.
You brought up Derek Thomas.
Yes.
Who's to me, whose life was probably ended much too soon, more than any other athlete I know.
Right.
He was something. I think, but not just football. I mean, think about with Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Barkley now makes more money with appearances and TNT basketball than he ever made playing basketball.
Right.
But that's still his name, image, and likeness.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, exactly.
And I think about like with baseball, we even talked about it some, you know, think about guys that have stepped out of high school and been drafted in the Major League Baseball draft and things. It's just, I can't imagine where we would be now if name, image, and likeness had been where it was in the 70s.
Right.
I mean, even before that, I think about, what about Archie Manning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Not just from a player standpoint. How do you think Coach Bryant, who was a master of manipulating.
Absolutely.
The system. How, if in his heyday, if he'd had that type of opportunity, he probably would never lost a game.
Well, and I think about when you say that, I think about John Wooden.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the man won multiple championships in a row at UCLA without name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he could have been like Coach Bryant and got the cream of the crop from all of the country? I think about Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, yeah.
He's done it basically without NIL.
Yeah, exactly. And if this had come about 15 years ago, Nick Saban would probably still be coaching.
Absolutely.
He would still be, because it came about a little too late for him. He didn't want to make that adjustment.
Well, we're going to talk about that, too, with Coach Nick Saban. And I'm going to throw a couple of other names out at you that probably needs to be talked about. And we'll do that more on McCurley in the Morning. McCurley in the Morning, being joined by Mike Richardson. We're talking NIL, name, image, and likeness. We've thrown some names out from yesteryear that just would be absolutely astronomically involved with NIL. Now, you mentioned Nick Saban. Now let's talk about that for a minute. With the way that he ran his program, okay, as an Auburn fan, sure, I didn't like it. I didn't like him. I couldn't beat him. Well, actually, Auburn did have probably more success against him than anybody did, but the man won 6 championships at one school, one at another.
Right.
And he, I respect him for this. He stepped away after winning a championship at LSU and went to the NFL.
Right.
And basically, this NIL stuff is a model after NFL. That's all it is, basically. Okay. He didn't like the NFL. He didn't like the fact that somebody was making more money than him that he had to coach, in my opinion. That was one of the hardest things. He really didn't have control over the players that he was going to get.
Right. Okay. But the general manager selected those in the draft.
Exactly.
Case in point, Drew Brees.
Yes.
He wanted Drew Brees.
So my question is if NIL had been started 20 years ago, and the bidding wars come out, and Nick Saban knows how to bid, I want to know, would he have ever not won a championship? Because he would have got just about any recruit he'd have wanted.
I think so, because I think he would have just continued to just dominate for the simple fact that he would have controlled everything.
Yep.
Within that NIL. He would have controlled those collectives. He would have controlled the sources of the revenue, and he would have controlled how they paid it and you know, just about every aspect of it. He was just that kind of person.
Well, and that brings me back to the point now. We talked about if NIL had been back 25, 30 years ago. Okay. Where are we going to be 25 years from now?
I really think that we're moving toward even more so a more NFL-type model. And I got a feeling, now this is my own personal opinion, but I've heard other people talk about it some, but I got a feeling that in the future, and I'm not sure it's going to be the distant future, but that there's going to be a quote-unquote super conference. The top 30, 40, 50, whatever schools are going to separate themselves from everybody else. And it'll just be that. It'll just be more like an NFL-type model then.
Well, and to me, I'm going to kind of hate to see that come because of the pageantry, because of the things that you and I used to listen. We used to watch an Iron Bowl from Legion Field that was half red and half orange.
Oh,
half blue.
I remember.
We used to watch a Georgia-Florida biggest cocktail game that meant something, and it was the same way. We used to watch UCLA and USC have one of the biggest audiences in football history. We used to watch Notre Dame and Michigan play that first game of the year that nobody else wanted to be anywhere else except for in front of the TV watching that ball game. Even people here were getting away from that.
Right.
And
but
go ahead.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think that those schools that you mentioned will pretty much all be a part of that super conference, if you will.
Oh, yes.
And so we'll still have that to some extent, and then you'll have the lesser-known programs that will have a separate.
Let's call it like it is. You'll have this. You'll have the minor league.
Basically, yes. You'll have a USFL or an XFL or whatever they would call it now.
And as bad as people don't want to admit this, okay, I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to tell you what I think with this NFL model that's coming. People don't realize you can take professional golf, tennis, you can take NASCAR, you can take Major League Baseball, who plays a jillion games a year, and you can take the NBA basketball is very popular, hockey, whatever you want to. The biggest revenue in this country comes from the gambling houses with sports now from the NFL.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
I mean, it's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have maybe one more segment with Mike when we come back on McCurley in the Morning. Mike Richardson in studio with me on this Friday morning. And, of course, we've been talking NIL. We've talked about yesteryear and some of the athletes and coaches and people who would probably love this NIL stuff. But now we've talked about where we thought it would be in a few years. But what about the fan aspect, Mike? What do you think your typical, and I'm not just talking about just Auburn and Alabama, but where we live, what do you think people really think about this?
I think in general, people are not opposed to players getting paid. I think they feel that because as we move toward away from a not so amateur athlete, that they support compensation for them. I think they're a little tentative about what direction it's heading.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we haven't addressed Title IX. We haven't addressed any of that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things to be ironed out still, but it's the first step in moving that way.
Okay. You and I have talked about, me personally, I like the fact that they can get paid, but, okay, we talked about how some athletes come from a situation at home to where they're not used to seeing this kind of money. They need help, okay? But I wanted to ask you, to me, there needs to be regulations with this or limits. But I'm going to ask you, who should decide that? Should it be the schools? Should it be the NCAA? Should it be the government? I don't think the government should have any say in this whatsoever, with the exception of them getting their part of it, like we've already talked about.
With the taxes and things like that. I think that the NCAA, which has been a lame duck for now, ever since NIL started, basically.
Yep. Before that.
Yeah, really. But there will have to be some organization similar or like the NCAA that will have to govern it. Maybe it's a maybe they take the presidents or the ADs or somebody and pool them together. But there's got to be some organization. Otherwise, it could get out of control real quick.
It needs to be policed.
It does need to be policed.
And with that being said, you know, who's going to do that? As you mentioned, maybe some former, you know, school officials, maybe some former NCAA officials, you know, who might want to need a paycheck right now. But my thing is this. I believe that if there are no regulations coming before long, you're going to see the schools that have the most money and power are going to have the most ability to, you know, get prolific off this.
I think it's going to go that way anyway. I think the schools, you know, the haves are always going to be the haves, and the have-nots are going to be the have-nots. In addition to an organization of, you know, varied people, they also need a commissioner.
Oh, absolutely.
I have an idea for
I bet he coached at Alabama.
I believe he did.
Well, but here's the thing with me. I would be for that because of what you and I have talked about. What was the first thing you done when he came to Tuscaloosa?
He said, it's my program.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Now, could Nick Saban do that as a whole for all of the schools in the country? In my opinion, absolutely. Do I think he's got love in his heart for Alabama and LSU and even Michigan State and places where he's
Virginia?
Absolutely he does. But I truly believe also that he's got enough gumption in him to say, you know what, Bama, you're not going to do that because it's against the rules.
I think so, too. I think it's the game. And when I was coaching, I used to tell the players, my fans, my parents, I used to tell them, you know, the game is pure. Just from kickoff to the end of, you know, end of the game, or from the first pitch to the last pitch, the game itself is pure. What ruins the game is people, fans, referees, umpires, players, coaches, what have you.
Yep.
They're the ones that taint the game. So if you find somebody that cares about the game, then that'll be their focus.
And you know what? I'm going to lead you right into this before we get out of here. Game day, college game day. Okay. I'm a huge fan of it. I've been involved with it before in years past on a little basis and stuff, but to see where it has come to, I enjoy it. But now, I didn't like Nick Saban as a coach because I'm an Auburn fan, okay, because he beat me.
Right.
But he's the best analyst that they've maybe ever had on that program. And here's the reason why I say that, and it goes back to what you said. When they ask his opinion, or he gives his opinion even when he's not asked, that's okay too, because the rest of them, you know, Herb Street, even, you know, Desmond Howard, and especially Pat McAfee, they all listen to him like he's their father. Have you ever noticed that?
I have noticed that.
It means something when he's analyzing something. It doesn't have to be about how good the football team is. It's about, well, I think this coach is going to do this because they listen. And there's a reason for that. And I think he would be a good commissioner for college football for that reason, because I believe everybody would listen.
Oh, yeah. I think there's no doubt. He just has that presence about him. And plus, he knows his stuff. I mean, he knows it from top to the bottom. There's nothing he didn't know about it.
Give me the keys and get out of the way.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you for joining me today. We're going to do this more. We're going to have some sports programs on here about this, too. If you got an opinion about what Mike and I have talked about, let me know. We'll get him back on here. I appreciate it, buddy.